Writers have waxed poetic about Cupid's slings. Beyond romantic love, a growing number of psychologists have set out to determine what makes the heart sing. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on new research from the positive psychology movement, where scientists are using Palm Pilots to gauge people's moment-to-moment levels of happiness.
Dr. Peter Ubel has treated scores of sick patients in his day, and the one thing that's always left him scratching his head is that some chronically ill people are downright cheerful. Curious about the range of emotional response, Ubel and a team of psychologists at the University of Michigan devised a study to measure happiness.
What we did in this study was we sent people home with Palm Pilots that beeped at them every hour and a half or so and asked them how happy they were.
10 times a day, they answered a series of rapid-fire questions.
How are you feeling? What's your mood right now? Are you smiling? Or are you frowning?
The study included two groups. Group A was made up of healthy people, and Group B were all kidney disease patients. Intuitively, it may seem that people undergoing dialysis 3 times a day would not have a lot to be happy about. But what Ubel found is that, on average, the sick people were as happy as the healthy people. A surprise to many, including the kidney patients themselves.
They were unaware that they had emotionally adapted almost completely to their illness.
This study does not mean that having a chronic illness makes you happy, but it does suggest that there's some other divide between the happy and the discontent. Many researchers point to the set point theory. This is the notion that we all enter the world with a certain disposition, and even though extreme events throw us off, we inevitably return to that point.
You feel good sometimes when good things happen. You feel bad when bad things happen. But I think as people's lives shift circumstances, they readjust a calibration inside that brings them back to the balance that is their basic balance.
That's Charles Carver, a psychologist at the University of Miami. He says changing a person's set point may be possible to a degree, but much of it seems determined by genetics.
Does that mean that if you're a curmudgeon, if you don't giggle a lot, that you're an unhappy person? And the answer, I think, is a resounding no.
That's Marty Seligman of the University of Pennsylvania. He explains people have been so focused on the idea that happiness is simply about pleasure that they don't take time to realize there's a second, perhaps more meaningful form of happiness. He calls this the engaged life.
And that's knowing what your highest strengths are and then using them as much as you possibly can in work, in friendship, in love, in play, in parenting. And what you get out of that is not smiling a lot. What you get is total absorption, engagement, being one with the music.
Seligman says the challenge for many is first discerning their strengths and then applying them. He points, for example, to a woman in one of his studies who was employed as a waitress. This woman hated her work, but for practical reasons was stuck doing it. So Seligman put her through a series of tests designed to measure her strengths. It turned out her strongest score was in emotional intelligence, a skill she'd never thought much about. But Seligman advised her how to use it on the job.
Instead of going up to a table and giving them their food, she defined waiting on customers as making the encounter with her the social highlight of their evening. So she joked with them more, she talked with them more, and by deploying what she was very best at, which wasn't carrying trays, time passed much better.
Seligman's theory is that everyone can be taught this sort of happiness if they're committed to trying. Alice Nobry, NPR News, Washington.